If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Philippians chapter 4 with me. Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to be very long today. I just want to talk to you like a father to his children. Sometimes we're limited by stuff and perspectives, and we're limited by fear, even limited in relationships. And I want to break limitations off of us this morning. I want us to be free. I want us to be free to function, free to love, free to touch other lives. And so if you have Philippians chapter 4, I want you to go there with me. We're going to begin reading from verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I want to talk to you about this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm still learning. Yeah. I'm still learning. Yeah. So let's just pray. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you would help us. Help us to declare your goodness and to declare your word with clarity and with boldness. But more than that, with yoke-breaking power, that we can enter another level of our knowledge in you. In Jesus' name, amen. See, Lisa and I, we've been involved in ministry, doing ministry for some 31 years now. And even with that, in all of that time, in that 31 years, we've learned a lot, but we're still learning. And we learned a lot. We learned what's good. We learned what's bad. We learned how to deal with certain situations. And we learned how to not look at certain things. And we've learned a lot in the 31 years, but we're still learning. And I think, can I just say to you that wisdom and knowledge is not just only in the fact that you're a certain age, but it's also what God gives you from above. But at saying that, I want you to understand that you don't get to be old by being stupid. We haven't been around, Lisa and I haven't been involved in ministry for 31 years because we haven't learned. We've been there because we learned some things. And we understand some things. So sometimes, even though people don't like to agree with it, the older you get, sometimes the wiser you get. And I want to advise some of our young people here and younger than me people that if we talk to you in certain ways, if older people speak to you, listen to what they're saying. We didn't get here by being stupid. We had to go through some stuff to get to where we are. And we've learned a lot. Sister Julie, she's got to where she is because she's gone through some stuff. She's experienced some stuff. And so a lot of times the experiences that you get bring wisdom to you. The experiences that you go through. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to help us this morning because I think it's important for us to understand that no matter what circumstance you're in and condition and situation that you find yourself in, that should never be a limiting factor to what you do for God. See, sometimes we blame other people for our lack of progress. I would be better if. I could do better if. Well, the Apostle Paul said, I have learned. It doesn't matter what state I'm in. Yeah. I have learned a thing or two. Yeah. So I want to encourage us and help us this morning by the best of my ability. Then I'm going to let you go. I know some of you are already thinking about food. Because that's what kind of church we are. Always thinking about food. But this morning I want you to think about food from the Lord's word, from his word this morning. Let's think about that. See, because really, what God wants us to do, how many of you sometimes you tolerate life, or you endure life and you tolerate relationships? Yeah. See, we endure life. We endure it, and then the people that we're around, we tolerate them. We don't necessarily, say what we'd like to say to those people, so we tolerate them. But I don't believe we should have that kind of spirit, because the Bible says, Miss Lisa, Mama Lisa, the Bible says that we should have life and we should have it more abundantly. Amen. That means whatever circumstance I find myself in, whatever situation I find myself in, should not limit me to the aspect of life that He's given me.
Yeah.
The life that He's given me is bigger than the situation I am in. Mm-hmm. See, life killed Jesus and contained Him in a grave, but it couldn't keep Him there.
Amen.
Yeah. See, so you need to understand that, because the Bible says the same Spirit which raised Him from the dead is alive in you and me. And if I have that Spirit in me, I am not going to let any situation cramp His style that He wants me to have. Come on, somebody. He has given me something bigger that I should not allow me to operate in a smallish mindset. A limited perspective. I don't care if we're hurting sometimes. That doesn't mean I still can't function as if I'm not hurting. I don't care if I'm disappointed. It means I should still function as though I've been encouraged. Because the same Spirit. Yeah. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned. And no matter what state I am, I have learned to be content. And so the fact is, whenever I stop learning, I stop the possibility of progressing. The disciples focus, as we are disciples, our focus should be on learning more about Jesus, right? Can I emphasize that? A lot of times we get it mixed up, and we're focused on bettering our craft. We're focused on doing ministry. We're focused on all of these aspects. But I think the prime thing that we should be focused on is our knowledge of Jesus.
Amen.
See, because it is your increasing knowledge of Jesus that produces wisdom.
Yes.
And wisdom produces or gives you access. I'm going to say that again. It's your increasing knowledge that produces wisdom, and it's your wisdom that gives you access. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Remember, his disciples, they came to him and asked him the question, who do men say that you are? And some say John the Baptist, some say, everybody came out with their expressions of other people's experiences. Mm-hmm. But Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter, he stands up and says, thou art the Christ. Can I tell you, don't live on somebody's experience in God, but you have to have your own experience in God.
Yes.
Yeah. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then something took place. He said to him, thou, in paraphrasing this way, thou art Peter. He kind of, and I'm paraphrasing that. In other words, his revelation, his knowledge of God, brought about a change to who he was.
Yes.
Thou art Peter. And then Jesus says to him, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he says, I give you what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, he had a knowledge that brought about wisdom. How do you know he had wisdom? Because it changed him from being Simon, unstable, to being rock that God could build something with. It changed him from one type of person to another. So he gained wisdom, and then he got access to the keys. Come on, beloved. Because he gained wisdom, he got access to heaven. He got access to something that he didn't have access to before, Brother Tom. And sometimes we need to know that when we get a hold of something we never had in God before, it is with a purpose that he gives it to us. It is with the purpose that we would bring down the strongholds of the enemy. It is with the purpose that we would declare the glory of God in a place, that we would proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that we would proclaim something that was never proclaimed before. See, God wants to give us access. Okay, so he says wisdom. We understand that knowledge gives us wisdom, and wisdom gives us access. Okay, that's what we understand. He's preaching back to me, and I'm preaching. Wisdom gives us access. So, the apostle makes a distinction. The apostle, he makes a distinction in Philippians 4, and he talks about when he says, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. So he's saying there's going to be some good that happens in your life, and there's going to be some bad that happens in your life. But the challenge for us is not to run away from the bad stuff. Yeah, how many of you know that anytime something bad happens to us or comes into our experience, we blame it on the enemy? Yeah. We blame it on the enemy. How many of you know we just sang a song that said that all things were created by him and for him. Whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, they were created by him and for him. Right? So the enemy and all of his demonic hordes were created by him, because we know from scripture that they were angels in heaven. And when they began to get prideful, the devil was thrown out and a third of the angels went with him. So they don't have any power other than what's allowed them. So I need you to understand that if that's the case, they don't have freedom to do what they want. Plus, God will use what they do to teach you something. Amen. I have learned, in whatever state I am, how to abound and how to be abased. We need to understand, it doesn't matter what circumstance you're in, and what you are experiencing, no matter how rough and how tumultuous it may be, what God has put into you is bigger still. It's our conversation that betrays us, though. And the devil always does this. Oh, the devil got in. Oh, the devil's attacking me. And I'm not saying we shouldn't acknowledge. The Bible tells us we should be aware of the wiles of the enemy. We should be aware. But it still shouldn't influence my thinking, nor should it influence how I function. Whether I have a lot or I have a little, the God who created me and who was in me is still bigger than it all. Now, come on, somebody. Y'all going to have to help me this morning. Y'all a little bit quiet here, and I know a lot of people are away, the noisy ones especially. But you're going to have to help me a little bit. Because it's true, isn't it? We always give... we always give, the enemy credit for stuff that he shouldn't be getting credit for. Because really, he's just a tool in the hand of God to create something in you that wasn't there before. So we learn. The apostle makes that distinction. And we learn, when you think about it, he uses bad times and bad things to build character and to build certain things in us. Remember, Paul and Silas were in prison. I got to understand, maybe I should help us focus on the bad stuff just for a moment, the stuff that happens in our life, and how by the power of God, by the Spirit of the living God, he wants to help us deal with the stuff that sometimes we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
because we give it too much credit to the enemy. So in Acts chapter 16, you read, you don't have to turn, but you read about Paul and Silas, who for doing good, for casting a demon out of a woman who was demon-possessed, they get thrown into the inner dungeon, the Bible says, and their feet are fastened in stocks, and they're in the inner dungeon. It's the deepest, darkest place that they could possibly be, and they're fastened in stocks, and rather than complaining about the situation, they began to sing praises. Yeah, see, that's already foreign to some of us right now. Here they are in the deepest, darkest dungeon in a whole bunch of pain, and they began to sing, "What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him.
What a mighty God we serve."
They're singing that. And they're thrown into a deep place for doing something right. But that is the thing I want you to focus on. I want you to look at this. The Bible says, as they were singing and praising, you read it, you don't have to go there now, but you can read it later on. As they were singing and praising, the Bible says, the foundations of the prison where they were shaken, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the Bible says the jailer would have killed himself if not Paul had said, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all still here." Yeah. Now, that baffled me. The prison doors open, they're locked up, all of their chains fall off. If it were us, we would have been out of that bad boy. Get me out of here. I'm gone. See ya. It shows us how we think when we're in a trouble. We're hasting, and we want to get out without the work being completed. Yeah. Sometimes you got to stay in a bad place until God finishes with you what he's trying to do inside of you. And he stays there. And they stay there. I think that's incredible for me. Because the way I am, and if I were to go back to my past life, as soon as they got me free, I'd have been all over that guard. We'd have been scrapping, man. You locked me up in here, take that. Bam. But they sit there, and their mind isn't on themselves. See, you have to understand this, that when you are focused on the will of God, it doesn't matter what's happening around you or what predicament you find yourself in, but when you are focused on the will of God, it doesn't matter how painful it is, it doesn't matter how people disappoint you, it doesn't matter the circumstance that you're in, but when you are focused on the will of God, that is the number one commitment in your life, and you're going for that no matter what's happening around you. And the Apostle Paul said there is a jailer and his family that are in this place, and they're coming out with us when we leave.
Yeah.
See, we got to learn that bad situations are not necessarily a problem, but they're opportunities. See, no matter how bad it seems, with God, it's always an opportunity, not necessarily for you, but for somebody else. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? See. Yeah. Bad situation, but a good opportunity. Abased. I know how to abound. In other words, I have learned how to handle a blessing. I know how to bow. I've learned how to handle being blessed by God so that it doesn't distract what I need to do for God. You ever been around people when God starts blessing them and that head just expands? That head just expands like 12 sizes. And now they're walking around with monster head. And you know what happens with monster head people. You can't tell them nothing. Because they got the t-shirt. But then when the tough time comes, that monster head deflates. Can I tell you, when we are learning stuff from God, it doesn't matter how big we get, it doesn't distract from the focus. No matter how bad it gets, it doesn't distract from the focus. Because I learned it doesn't matter what I have or what I don't have, I still got God.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? Yeah. I'm just trying to talk to you this morning like a father. God rebuked me the other week and said, Vince, you don't talk to those people. You're always preaching at them. Talk to them. They're your children. It's about this time I say something about Miss Lisa, but I'm not.
Amen.
I can do all things that are bigger than just being abased or abounding, but I can do all things. I believe it's important for us because, you see, the way we think when we are confronted by these situations ultimately determines what we do and the decisions we make. Yeah, see, because if we're not learning how to deal with tough times, when a tough time comes, we often, most probably, will make a wrong decision. But if we're learning stuff when it's a good time, even when the good times come, if we understand the focus, we won't make a bad decision based on what we have. Yeah. Yeah, it's an important thing for us to understand this. Because I've seen a lot of people over the years make decisions based on what they felt. You need more than what you feel to make a decision. You need to hear from God. Amen. And because we're human and it's really easy for us to fool ourselves that God is talking to us. You ever hear, you know, when God speaks and we hear this certain type of voice, that's God speaking. And it's really you talking to yourself. See, there has to be some checks and balances, and this word right here will check you. When you're thinking outside of the plan of God, but you're calling it the plan of God, this word will check you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. Can I get you to go to Matthew chapter 34? I want you to go to, no, Matthew chapter 34. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. I just want to. We're almost done. Matthew chapter 13. And we know this parable, but I want to bring something out of this parable concerning what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he's talking about how to abound, how to be abased, how not to be affected by your circumstances, how to stay focused concerning your circumstances. Listen, it says in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. He sells all that he has. He finds the treasure and he sells everything and he buys the field. If you'll miss the story, if you're focused on the treasure, you'll miss the truth if your mind is thinking about the treasure. Because he wouldn't have found the treasure if he had not had first commitment.
Yes. Yes.
He found the treasure because he was committed to the field. If he would have never been committed to the field, he would have never found the treasure. Listen, the Jewish historians and a lot of theologians said the field really wasn't worth a lot. There was no crops, there was no harvest. It didn't look like anything that was worthwhile. And can I say to you, not everything that's worthwhile with God looks like it is.
Amen.
And a lot of times we give our attention to the thing that looks like it's worth something.
Yeah.
If that has been the case, he would have never committed himself to us, because we were worth nothing without him.
Amen.
But he committed himself to us, not knowing what we were, but what we would become in him.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?
Amen.
Our mindset can no longer be on just looking at stuff and with our senses saying that's a blessing from God. It doesn't work like that, because if it had come down to it, beloved, if he would not have committed, he was committed to us because we were worth something to him.
Amen.
He committed himself to us because he can see not what we were, but what we will become.
Amen.
The Bible says he endured the cross, despising the shame, for seeing the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? You and I coming to him. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Okay. That's my preach. I won't preach no more. I just talk for a minute. And calm down. Let's talk now.
Thank you, Lord.
So we see that this field isn't really, he found the treasure because he committed himself. And see, what God wants us to understand, if we commit ourselves to him, we'll find something we never expected. We'll not only be a blessing to you, but a blessing to everybody in your world. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, listen, I want you to go to one more verse, one more scripture. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 32, and I'm going to close right here. Jeremiah chapter 32. I was just thinking about this stuff, and I wanted to talk to us, because sometimes we forget that we have to maintain a teachable spirit. Because if we remain teachable, if we remain teachable, we'll get knowledge, we'll get wisdom, and then we'll get access. If we remain teachable. I think I told you all this story before, but once in my life, right here in this church, many years ago when I was the associate minister, I wasn't a teachable person at this point in my time, because I was traveling around the UK. I had with tent ministries and seeing bunches of people saved, bunches of people being healed, and nobody could tell Vince anything. So when I was coming here, the pastor at the time was an older man, and it was my time. I was scheduled to preach here. And I was told to go and preach at this little room in Milton Hall called the Bunbury Rooms. And at the Bunbury Rooms was our little outreach thing. And we used to have about one or two people come to the Bunbury Rooms. And I was prideful. Nobody could tell me nothing. You know who I am? I'm Vince the Evangelist, baby. And so I came here, and the pastor said, Vince, you're preaching at the Bunbury Rooms. I said, no, I'm not. I'm preaching right here. He said, no, sorry, son. You're going to the Bunbury Rooms. I said, what? And I got angry, flew off the handle, rushed out of here, and ran up to Mrs. Sargent's house. I know, Pauline, you know who Mrs. Sargent was. Mrs. Sargent is the lady who founded this church. This lady was so dynamic. She ministered. Anybody heard of Smith Wigglesworth?
Yeah.
She used to minister with Smith Wigglesworth, dynamic woman of God. So I went up to her house, and I went to talk to Mrs. Sargent. I sat down, and I was angry. I was crying. I was fuming. The man of God was limited. Was limited by this man. He just don't want me to do what I need to do for God. So then I told her everything, and she cried with me, prayed with me, cried with me, and I felt better. Actually, I just was more inflated than I was when I got there. That's what it really was. And so I left, went home and feeling good about myself. Then came back to her house about 2 weeks later. She said, you feeling good? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, sit down. Sat down. She said, son, let me tell you something. Don't you ever talk about another man of God the way you talked about that man. Don't you ever let your head swell 12 like you did. You're talking about fighting the enemy, and you just opened the door for the enemy to have his way. Who, she said these words that I'll never forget, who do you think you are? This lady was little and diminutive. She went up one side of me and down the other side. By the time she was done, I was crying again. This time it wasn't with joy. With anger. It was with sadness when I saw what I looked like. Beloved, we've got to learn. We've got to remain teachable. And we can't let circumstances dictate to us and cause us to lose our focus. No matter what's happening, I still got to keep my eyes on the prize. Are you hearing me? Okay, here, Jeremiah chapter 32. Now, man, I'm telling you, this is crazy. I got my Bible open and I'm putting my finger on it and trying to move it like a tablet. And it didn't move. Crazy. Jeremiah 32. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah the king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. But Zedekiah, the king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, why do you prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, the king of Judah, shall not escape from the land of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak to him face to face and see him eye to eye. Listen, you know, sometimes people have to say what they have to say. And sometimes when they say what they have to say, it's not going to sound good. King, we're going to get overtaken and they're locking you up. Why don't you prophesy something good to me? I'm going to be king of all is the world. My anointing is going to increase and be inexhaustible. I'm going to have this. Why don't you prophesy? Can I tell you something here? If it's the truth, it'll set you free. No matter how it sounds to your flesh and to your ear, if the truth is coming to you, it will set you free. And if this man would have listened, he would have got wisdom. But that's not where I want to go. I want you to see what else that takes place here. There's something phenomenal that takes place. Really, really incredible. Verse 4. And Zedekiah, the king of Judah, shall not escape the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face and see him eye to eye. And then he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, says the Lord. And that's good news, though, isn't it? But we don't want to, the other part. We just want you to visit us. I don't want the pain. I don't want the process. Just visit me. Just revive me. Send revival. I don't care. I don't want the process. Just show up, God. But how many of you know if we're really going to get something real from God, there's a process that we've got to go through? It's not free. I know somebody's told you that salvation is free, but it's not. It costs God all of heaven, and it'll cost you your life. The Bible says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. That means I have to deny myself. It's going to cost me something. People tell you this stuff and it's not real. And that's why people backslide, is because they didn't think it was going to be this hard. I thought it was free. Yeah, it's free for you to say yes. But after that point, it's going to cost you. That's why Jesus said that as a good steward, you measure and you think about what it's going to cost. Because it costs you. I know that's not popular, but it's true. Mm-hmm. Listen, he goes on to say, and the word of the Lord, verse 6, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, in other words, this is Jeremiah's cousin, will come to you saying, buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Then Hanamel, that name, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, please buy my field, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? He's in prison. He's buying a field in a land that's going into captivity. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What, that doesn't look beneficial, nor does it look profitable. Why are you doing that? God told me. Listen, Jeremiah committed himself to the word. Now I want you to see this. Jeremiah committed himself to the word that was given him. So he bought the field for 17 shekels of silver, and I signed the deed and sealed it and took witness and weighed the money on the scale. So I took the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and that which was sealed according to custom that was open. And I gave the purchase, blah, 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 blah. I won't go any further, but can I tell you something? Why would a man buy something in that situation that doesn't seem profitable in a land that's going into captivity? Everybody knew that Jeremiah was a prophet. They called him the weeping prophet. And everybody knew what Jeremiah was capable of, and everybody knew that Jeremiah always spoke the word of the Lord. Can I tell you? He was giving a picture to all of the children of Israel that we may be going into captivity, but we're not going to stay there. We may be going into captivity, and even though we're going in, we are coming out, and guess what? We're going to be blessed going in, and we're going to be blessed coming out. We have to understand that whatever our circumstance is and what we're in, what the circumstance, the stuff, is not the blessing. It is the God who is with us that is the blessing. And no matter if we go in with nothing or we come out with nothing, we have Him. And whatever we buy, whatever we do in the middle of that struggle, in the middle of that limited place, beloved, let me tell you something. When you come out of that limited place, you'll have more than what you went in. He bought that land. I thought that was incredible. He buy some land in a captive place. And most of us say, you must be crazy. Can I say to you that when we commit to the word of God, to everything that it says, not to what we feel, God will do more than we expected Him to do. That's good stuff right there. You can't get that in a Christian bookshop. You can't get that right there. You got to come to the house of God to get that. See, when we learn more about Jesus, we learn more about Him. It increases our capacity. It increases our ability to live. It increases our ability to love. It increases our ability to see manifestation of power. It increases our ability to touch people. It gives us access to people where we didn't have access before. When we continue to learn, we have a teachable spirit. We can do things, beloved, that we've never done before without ever knowing how to do them. Can I give you an example? I'm going to close with this. Remember on the day of Pentecost? When those 120 were in the upper room and the Bible says that the Spirit came upon them, fire, and they went out speaking with other tongues. And I know we speak with other tongues as classical Pentecostals, but I want to tell you that that particular situation was not about just speaking in tongues. It was about the ability to communicate with languages they'd never known and never used before. Now, I know my friend Jose would be crazy if I was to start. He would sit here and go crazy because he knows me. But if I was to stand here and start speaking and preaching in Portuguese, he would get up here and go crazy because he knows I don't speak Portuguese. Listen to me. When we commit to God, God will equip us to do things we were never able to do before. Are you hearing me? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and I thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help us to understand what you have in store for us. I pray you would give us understanding of you, more greater understanding of yourself, greater understanding of your word, that we can begin to do greater things for you. And we ask that you would help us, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.